The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pekudei. In the Parsha, the Torah tells us of the building of the Mishkan and the assembling of the Mishkan. And in Parsha Mem, Pasukot Beis, it states, Vayitenes HaShulchan Ba'el Meid Al Yerech HaMishkan Sfona. And Moshe put the Shulchan, the table, in the Kodesh. There was the Chotzer. It's the courtyard of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. Then there was the Kodesh. The Kodesh was a covered area. The courtyard was open on top. And the Kodesh was divided into two sections, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy and the Holy of Holies. In the part of the Kodesh, there were three items: the Shulchan, table, the menorah, the candlesticks, and the Mizbeach, the inner altar. Vayitenes HaShulchan Ba'el Meid Al Yerech HaMishkan Sfona. Excuse me. The Shulchan was placed on the northern side, Michutz LaPareches, outside of the curtain. There was a curtain which divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the menorah, and the menorah was placed on the southern side. As you entered from the east, and you went towards the west. And if you were looking westward, so the north would be to your right, and south would be to your left. So on the right side was the Shulchan, and on the left side was the menorah, and in the center was the Mishbeach, the inner altar. The Gemara brings in the Masechta Bava Basra, why was the Shulchan on the right side? Why was it on the north side? It was on the right side because it was on the north side, but why was it on the north side? Because the Shulchan represented physical blessing, physical abundance. On that Shulchan, during the week, there were the Lechem Aponim, the breads. And this not only represented it, but the Beis HaMikdash was a source for various different forces coming into the world. And this was the force, the source of the physical abundance which would come into the world. So still, why was it towards north? So it is explained because the word north is tzofein. Tzofein also means tzofun, concealed. The Chazal tell us that the north side of the world is concealed. Difficult to understand exactly what is meant by that. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so the north side of the world is concealed. And this is why it's called Tzofein. And we have a principle that the Gemara brings in Brachos, that Ein HaBracha Metzuya Al HaDovesh Shemechusa Min HaAyin. When it comes to physical abundance, Brocha, then it's always best if it's something which is concealed from the eye. Something which is too revealed does not have physical abundance. Therefore, since the Shulchan represented the Brocha, bread of a person, it was placed on the north side, Tzofein, which represented the concealed side of the world. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Bava Basra, the Beis Omid Beis, The Gemara says, Gino Shani. When a person has, a person's a farmer, and he has a garden where he grows vegetables. Domar Baba, Omar Afuna, Omar Rav, Osa Odom Lamed Bistei Havere, Bishor Shi Hamedes became a Seho. One is not allowed to stand and gaze at another person's garden when it's in the fullness of crop. The Gemara there is speaking that if one neighbor can force another neighbor to build a wall between them. So the Gemara says, what do you need a wall for? Because one person is not allowed to gaze into another person's field, his garden, when it's in its fullness. And Ashi says, why? Because he can harm it. How would he harm it? With ein hara, with the evil eye. Again, this is the same principle. When something is concealed, then it attracts brocha. When something is public, is too revealed, it attracts the evil eye. And this is the hepech, this is the converse to brocha. Another example we have of that in our parsha, in the beginning. Our parsha is called Pikudei. Pikudei means to count. Why is it called Pikudei? Because it starts Elo Pikudei HaMishkon. Rashi says, "Biparsha zu nimnu kol mishkelei nidvas haMishkon." In this parsha is counted and calculated all of the weights of the contributions to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary, which were necessary for the building of the sanctuary. La kesef, lezov, lenacheshes. How much silver was needed? How much gold was needed? How much copper was needed? The nimnu kol kelov lechol avedosei, and every item here is counted and calculated in this parsha. That's why it's called Pikudei HaMishkan. Now, after that, it states Mishkan Edus, the sanctuary of the testimony, where the Torah was, the tablets were. It states Mishkan twice. Ele Pikudei HaMishkan, these are the countings of the sanctuary. Mishkan Edus, the sanctuary of the testimony. Why does it say it twice? Rashi brings from the sages, Chazal, Shnei Pomim, twice. Remez leMikdash nismashkein b'shnei churbonin ala v'neisein shel Yisrael. The word Mishkan has two meanings. One is sanctuary. That comes from the word shochein, to dwell. It's called the sanctuary because it's the dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another meaning, though. It can be read, it's a different word, but it's spelled the same. It can be read as mashkon, a mashkon. Mashkon means a pledge, a security. When you lend money to someone, you can demand, at the time you lend them the money, you can demand security. Or, shlebisha salvo, when you come to collect, it's time to collect, and he says, look, I don't have it yet, so you become a little worried, you can say, all right, give me a mashkan. Give me some security that through this I can sleep well at night. I'll know that my money is secure. That's what a mashkan is. The mishkan, the Chazal say, became a mashkan when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to collect from Klal Yisrael. Because of Avaneseihem, because of their Averas, their transgressions, instead of taking them, he took the Beis HaMikdash from them as a mashkan. And one day, Yirtzeh Hashem, when everything will be straightened out, he'll give back the Beis HaMikdash to them. And he did this twice, by the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. And that is why it says here,
Eile pekude mishkon, mishkan or eidus. The simple meaning is what we how we read to begin with. But remesh, the Torah also subtly telling us something else, that this was the sanctuary that was to become a mashkin twice, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come to collect from Yisrael because of their avedus. And instead he would take a mashkin, he would take a security, a pledge against their avedus, and that was the sanctuary, and he would do that twice. This is what the sages say. Now the Maral in the Sefer Gurai asks a good question. All right, good. But why here? Why Dafki here? Why did the sages choose? Why did the Torah choose here to tell us this? In all of these parshas we've been speaking in the last number of weeks consistently about the Mishkan. And why right here? He says, because this is the parsha in which we calculate and count everything that was given for the Mishkan, and how it was weighed up, and how many things belong to the Mishkan. And the sages tell us in the Gemara that in Abrocha Metzuya al Dover Shebemido or Shebemishkan, that on something which is counted, and something which you place dimensions over, this weighs so much, this is so big, this is so many, then Brocha is not found. But to the contrary, that brings the Ein Hora. And therefore the Torah is in a subtle way telling us that the Mishkan was a prone to an Ein Hora, because all the time the Mishkan had to be HaKol B'mido, the sages say. Everything had to be the exact dimension. We weren't allowed to change. It says HaKol B'mido, it had to be exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. And since its dimensions were always public and always known, because of that it was always prone to the Ein Hor. And we find, unfortunately, tragically, twice the Mishkan became a Mashkan. And that's why right here the Torah teaches us this. This same principle we find in last week's parsha, the week before. No, 2 weeks ago. But we read it just last week, not this Shabbos, but the Shabbos before, in Parsha Shkolim. And that is in the beginning of Kishiso. This week's Pekude, last week was Vayakel, the week before Kishiso. It states Kishiso Esreish B'nei Yisrael Lifkudehem, right at the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to count the B'nei Yisrael, wanted to know how many they are. So he said Kishiso, when you count the heads of the B'nei Yisrael Lifkudehem, to know their numbers. The Targum says, what does it mean, kishiso? See, kishiso actually is a strange word to count, because kishiso really doesn't mean, it's used as a word to count, but the word kishiso comes from the word nesio, to lift, uplift. So that's why the Targum has to explain, when you want to calculate the numbers of B'nai Yisrael, this is how you should do it. Do not count them, but rather have everyone give a dimension of silver, which also will serve as an atonement for themselves. And then you count the silver. And then the lo yevahem negev bifkeireson. And then there will not come something, heaven forbid, tragedy will not come upon them from counting them. Now what is this meant? What is meant by this? So Rashi explains. He says, Altimanim legalgulas. Do not count them openly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, Eliitnu kolechem maxis a shekel. Let everyone give a half a shekel. Ve'esim ne'as a shkolim. And then you count the shkolim. And this way you will know their numbers. That's what it means, Kisiso Asareish Bnei. When you come to count them, this is how you should count them. So what does it mean with Leyevahem Negev, in order that there should not be some type of tragedy? Shahaminyan Shelit Bay Ein Hora. Because when you count, then it becomes prone to the Ein Hora, to the evil eye. And Vahadever Boha Lehem. And this can bring plague. Kimei Shemotzinu B'mei David. Like we find in the days of David. In the days of David, this is a whole story brought in Shmuel Beis, Perachov Dalet. But there, the people wanted to know the count, and David counted them, and he did not count them in this manner, and a great tragedy came upon them. And why? What does counting have to do with the Ein Hora? Because counting is called Kisiso, Nisio. What you do when you count, you give each individual 1, 2, 3, a hashivus. You're uplifting, you're distinguishing each individual. Actually, the Gemara Masech Techulin, and the Gemara says that if you have something which is isor, you're not allowed to eat, and it becomes mixed up in a large quantity of something which is heter, which you are allowed to eat, so many times we say bitul barayv, the miut, the minority, becomes insignificant in the majority. But the Gemara says, what happens if the minority is a davar choshuv, something which carries much importance, or a davar shebeminyan, something which is sold individually, you count it. See, like if someone wants to buy, you come and you want to buy oranges. So you could buy it by the box, buy it by the sack. They won't necessarily count them out. But when you come to buy something which is very, very important, so then they sell each one individually. You pay per item. So then it will not become bottle. You cannot say where the isa, what is forbidden, becomes insignificant in the majority. See, because counting gives a hashivas. It gives a distinction and an importance. And also, through the counting, you know the ribui. You know the multitudes. And multitudes are very important to people. Human nature, the first question is how much, how many? See? They like multitudes. People go after quantity. So therefore, this is high profile. Giving the people high profile. And public high profile. In such a case, you're going to make it prone to the Ein Hora, and we have to be very, very careful. Now, we got a number of examples right in these parshas. See, from the Shulchan, that it was on the north side, and the north side is called Sofa and concealed, and from there came Brocha. And the Gemara in Baba Basra says that one neighbor can complain that his other neighbor is spending too much time looking at his, how nice his crops are. He can bring them an Ein Hora. And then we have when the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wrote that this Mishkan will become a Mashkin, will be taken away from us twice, and right in that Sedra, because it's prone to the Ein Hora, because everything had to be per dimension, and it had to always be counted. And then we have this case here, when we count the people, we must not count them outright. What we're speaking about here is known as the quality of tznius. Tznius or porutz, preachers. Tznius means something sonua, something which is closed. Porutz means something which is open. And it has a great parameter. Fortunately, many people understand this in a very narrow and limited sense. It's not limited at all. But what we're speaking here of public and private. Person has a private life, he has a public life. Chazal tell us a klal, a principle. the more private he'll be, the more bruncha he'll have. The more public he'll be, the more he brings himself into the sights of the Ein Hora, which can destroy bruncha. Many times we have to be public, but as we'll see later, even when we have to be public, we have to be careful. This has to do with the nature of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. In other words, low profile. Many times we'll see even secrecy is very, very important. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to be very open, to be high profile. But even then we must know we have to be very careful. And we'll see that nothing is free from this. Nothing. Even the Torah itself. And we have a blatant example of this. Also in these parshas. In Parshas Ki Siso. Parshas Ki Siso is where the golden calf took place. And when Moshe came down from the golden calf, and he had the tablets, the Torah, and he saw what was taking place. So what did he do? He broke the tablets. And he said, Torah cannot be given to Israel. In other words, he reneged on the giving of the Torah. He says, how can I give Torah to Israel? They're idolaters. So he broke the tablets. And Torah was not going to be given to Israel because of that. Except Moshe went back up on the mountain. And he stayed there 40 days. Second 40 days, and a third 40 days. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, all right, I'll give you the Torah again. So there were two givings of the Torah. Now we know in Parshas Yisro, when Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. So it said that bring all of the people to the foot of the mountain. So the whole nation was at the foot of the mountain. And he said, but be careful. Lingea Bahor, no one should touch the mountain. Make a boundary. The 3 days before Shavuos are known as the Yemei Hagbolah. They were the days when the boundary were made that nobody should come up on the mountain. They had to be at the foot of the mountain. And it states that Moshe brought them all there. And there was lightning. And there was thunder. Kelishu Brokim. And there was fire coming from the mountain. And there was smoke coming from the mountain. And the sages say that the greatest miracles that ever took place at the giving of the Torah. And all of the people heard Hashem's voice, and the world trembled. And the people became so scared that after the first two dibros, the first two commandments, they told Moshe, we don't want to speak to Hashem anymore. It's too fearful for us. You speak to him and you'll tell us the rest of the commandments. Now, that's how the Torah was given the first time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you out the second tablets, I'm going to give them to you again. So this is in Parshas Ki Siso, Perek Lamed Dalet. What does it state? Vayema Hashem al Moshe, psol lechosh neluchis avonim kerishenim. You out the tablets like you did the first time. And I will write on the tablets everything which was written on the tablets, on the first tablets which you broke. In the morning, be ready. And you go up to Mount Sinai. And you wait for me there on top of the mountain. No one is to go with you. Incidentally, there it states everyone could go a certain distance with Moshe. The elders, Aaron. Here he says, Ish lo yale imach, no one shall go with you. Begam ish al yero bechol ohor. And in the whole area, I don't want to see one person. Gam hatzom v'aboker al yiru al mul ohor ahu. And I don't want to see any of the cattle or the sheep in the whole area. See? Now, when Hashem gave the second tablets, doesn't mention anything about thunder, kalish, brokim, lightning, kifshana esh, fire, nothing. It was totally private. So there was a drastic change between the giving of the first tablets and the giving of the second ones. Why? Rashi brings Harishaynis al yedei shoye b'shuays v'keilis ukihilais. First tablets that were given with great celebration, with great thunder, with great congregations and multitudes of people. Sholto ben Ein Ro became prone to the Ein Hor. And what happened? They became destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein lecho yofe min atznius. There's nothing better than low profile. This time we give it low profile. You come along and I give it to you. And forget about the ganze chasana. That, not this time. So, now here we're talking about the giving of the Torah. There couldn't have been a greater moment. The Medrash Tanchuma, which is the source of this, adds a little. It states, this is at the end of Os Lamed Aleph. Berishena, first time, Vayhi Bayim HaShlishi B'Yeis HaBoker, it states that on the third day, after they had prepared for the giving of the Torah, and it was morning, and Baisha took the whole nation to the mountain, and then it goes through everything that we said. Right, there was the thunder and the fire and everything, and they heard the voice of Hashem, and the earth trembled. The Khan, and here it says, Gam ish al yero, I don't want to see one person with you. You come alone. Haluchis rishaynis ashul nitnu bepumbe. The first tablets, because they were given with great fanfare and great pomp and great publicity. Lefichok sholto ben Ein Hora. So the Ein Hora took over. And nishtablu. They became broken. Kano male HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here Hashem said, Ein lecho yofe min hatznius. There is nothing better, nothing more beautiful than privacy. Low profile. Shneemar, as it states, and then brings the posuk from Micho involved. Posukheas ma Hashem derish mimcho. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from you? Kim aseis mishpot, to do justice. Avas chesed, to love goodness and kindness. Matznei aleches im Hashem alakecho, and to walk very privately. See, hatznei from the word sonua, to walk low profile, very privately with Hashem. So we see nothing, not even the Torah itself, the giving of the Torah, is free from this Ein Hora. When something becomes too public, the Ein Hora, the evil eye which could affect it. We see the same principle when it comes to studying the Torah. The Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Perek Yuval of Pasuk Beis, Bo Zodain. A Zodain is someone who's brazen. Someone who's very brazen. That's the opposite of what we're speaking about. Instead of being reserved, and in Yiddish there was a word, behalten, he's very open to the extreme and brazen. And he shoots off his mouth a lot. Shlomo HaMelech says, Bo Zodain, Yomei Kolein. The brazen person, he'll bring shame and disgrace. This is what he'll inherit. Vesnuim, the person who is very low profile, who is very private, chokhma, vesnuim chokhma, he'll become great in wisdom. Because not only that became the giving of the Torah, and that was the giving of the Torah that lasted forever. But that's the same way one must learn Torah, that type of personality. To give an explanation in this of all that we've said, the Maral explains. He says, you find in this world that the lower the level of something, the more golui, the more open it is. The higher the level, the more mechusa, the more concealed it becomes. And this is a principle, he says, you find in the entire world. And something which is open, constantly open, that usually represents chisus achim, a very shallow level, a very coarse level of the physical world, or the physical profiles. For example, and to the contrary, as the levels go up, then we find more privacy becomes more concealed. He says, until you come to the level of Kedusha, of sanctity, or of Kovod, he says, this goes hand in hand with that of Tznius. Examples of this. When you come to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, even at the physical level, what are things which are totally open? You take avonim, etzim avonim, stones. Stones you can find wherever you want. You want to look for avonim yukorim, precious stones. Those you do not find scattered anywhere. That you have to dig for. The more precious the stone, the more you have to dig for it. Or the more it's difficult to find, the more concealed it is. Dirt and dust, that you find anywhere. You want to find gold, diamonds, or pearls, you've got to go to the bottom of the sea. The same thing, if we're talking about lower levels of life, there tznius is not, a modesty is not expected from them. But dafke, the higher levels of life, this is what we find, the same thing even when we're speaking about Dvorim Kedoshim. You take the sanctuary or the Beis HaMikdash. You had first Eretz Yisrael. Then you would come to Yerushalayim. Then you would come to Har HaBayis. And then you would come to the place of the Mikdash itself, courtyards which were walled in. Once you came further in the courtyards and you would go to the Kodesh, which was more Kodesh, that already not only was walled in, but it had a covering over the top. It was totally concealed. Then you would come to the Pareches, a curtain or a wall, and you would come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which was even more concealed. You take, when it came to the sacrifices, one of the most highest level sacrifices were the keteris, the incense. It came b'chashoy. It came when no one was around. It was not supposed to be brought too publicly. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, no one was ever allowed to go in there during the year. Just on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, Dafke, only Aaron the Kohen Gadol. This is also true when it comes to the Divrei Torah, to learning Torah. what is more open and revealed is the more the lesser level of Torah. If a person wants more depth in Torah, that's more concealed. And that only comes out through great toil. He wants more depth in Torah, he has to dig deeper. That's concealed even more. And that comes out also only through great toil. You can teach a child a Posukin Chumash. What are you teaching him? You're teaching him the open understanding of it. But now a person who's older, he wants a deeper understanding in it. So he has to go into a deeper, which was concealed to the child. You go into the Mishnah. You go into the Gemara. This is all concealed wisdom before. You go into Rashi, into Tosfos. It was all concealed. Chazal tell us, the more we learn the same thing, the more that was concealed comes out. Until you go into the greatest Sifrei Torah, the greatest mysteries and secrets of the Torah. We find the same thing in the person. When it comes, for example, to his seichel, the mind, which is the crown of the person, it's totally concealed. His thoughts are concealed. When it comes to his soul, that is so concealed that no one can ever find it. And the Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is totally concealed from everyone. Yeshiv B'Seisel Elyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells B'Seisel in total secrecy. Fact is, the Gemara says, why can one not find the neshama, the soul? Many times there have been scientists through history where they've challenged the existence of a soul, because they say they have searched through the entire human being and they have never found the soul. They never will. The Gemara says, why will the soul never be found in the person? Because the neshama is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like one can never find Hashem, he is totally concealed. So is the soul of a person. And this is the principle, the general principle, the Maral says. Snius, something, privacy, concealment. This represents, this shows a level. When something is open, this shows a lowliness of the level. When something becomes concealed and low profile, this shows greater height in the level. And this shows Kedusha. The more the concealment, the greater the sanctity. And the greater the cover, the honor. You take a king, you take the foot soldier, he's standing in front of the palace. The king says is Bechadre Chadorim. He's in the innermost chambers of the palace. You don't come to the king porch, you don't just walk into the king. The more distinguished, the more sanctified, the more honorable, the more it is concealed. Kol kfud bas melech penimo, David HaMelech wrote. A queen, you will find her in the innermost chambers. And Giloy, in other words, for something of a higher level to be opened up to public levels, this is a pagam. This destroys it. This is a pagam or a herpo. This is a busho. This is contrary to its nature. And this we find, as we said, in everything. We find this also. The Rambam brings in Midas Talmud Torah, when you teach Torah. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It began in the Perek Daled. See, people are of the general opinion that teaching Torah, which is an extremely, extremely great mitzvah, you teach to everyone and to anyone. To everyone and anyone. Not so. First of all, the Gemara brings that when you teach Torah, you got to be very careful to teach. If you were not always allowed to teach Torah to the nations of the world, their mitzvahs we can teach them. Their mitzvahs is a mitzvah to teach them, but not our mitzvahs. Ubechukim layadel, because it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Israel, not to others. It's a covenant. But even in Israel itself, the Rambam brings here, Eimelam din Teira, you don't teach Torah to everyone. We're talking about Jews. Elele Talmud Hogum, no b'maisor. You have a Talmud, a disciple, and he's Hogum, he's a good person. Noa b'maisor, he has derech eretz, he has manners, he speaks nicely, he acts nicely. Except he doesn't know Torah. Him it's a mitzvah to teach Torah. Or Latam is also a nice person. He's a truthful person, an honest person. But he doesn't know anything. But it's a mitzvah to teach him Torah. Aval im ha yahelech b'derech leiteva. But what happens if it's a person who is not a good person? He's not b'derech eretz, but he has other problems. He says, you don't bring him in the base of Medrash and teach him Torah. That's a bizein to Torah. You'd be mevazeh the madreg of Torah. You'd be mevazeh the level of Torah. Here, Torah is a crown. Would you give a king's crown to anyone? Torah is diamonds. It's gold. You give that to anyone. The person has to be deserving of it. So what do? Machzir and they say lemutov. First you work on him. You work on him, you teach him how to be a mensch. You teach him what's good and what's not good. Umanhigin I say biderech ishorov. And you show him a straight path. Ubeit kineshoi. And you watch him and you investigate him. And then afterwards you can bring him into the Beis HaMedrash. And you can teach him. As it states, he says, the Chazal tell us that if you teach Torah to someone who Torah is not appropriate for him, that's the same as giving honor to a fool. It would be like you have a fool and he comes into a Beis HaMedrash and you put him on the Mizrach Fund. Give him honor. This is the same thing with Torah. So therefore even the teaching of Torah must be given in this manner. We find as we mentioned in the offset, that people make a mistake when they try to understand this concept of tznius in a limited basis. It covers very broad areas. Now, we find tznius shebaguf. A person should be modest physically. The Gemara brings in Masechet Ervin, the Gemara says, and of Kuf Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Ilmole Leinit Netore L'Yisrael, if Torah wasn't given to Israel, L'manu Tznius Mechasul, so then we would learn certain attributes from various animals. We would learn modesty from the cat. The cat is a very modest animal, physically. Gezel min amolo. We would learn theft, not to steal from the ant. The ant will never take anything which is not his. Arayas miyona. We would learn promiscuity from the yona, from the dove. The dove, either one will never take another mate. They will never be disloyal to their mate. So the Gemara goes on. The Maral brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his perfection even in animals. And to certain animals he gave certain attributes which have perfection in them. And we have to learn from them. And when we see that perfection in them, shows us the Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. And we see the modesty, the physical modesty of a cat, we must learn from her. This shows the way of Hashem. There's tznius veloshon, how a person speaks. The Gemara brings in the beginning of Psochim, that Gimel Omer Aleph, Omer Bishu Ben Levi, La'elam al Yetzi Odom Dov Meguna Mipiv. Now, we're not speaking, there's other Gemaras that speak of Nivel Per, profane language, which unfortunately is a whole plague today. You have I mentioned this a number of times. The when I was young, growing up, I once had a summer job. I was working, and the type of people that I was working with was not of a high level of society. And one young kid started to open up a mouthful of nivul peh, see, of profanities. And there was an older goy there, a non-Jew, who also was by no means, I mean, he was a laborer, not from the high society. And there happened to be a lady around. So he looks at this kid and he says, "You don't talk like that in front of a lady." And he was ready to give him a slap. "You don't talk like that in front of a lady." In other words, he himself spoke like that, but not in front of a lady. This was from the lowest stratum of society. So someone once told me, "What do you do if we have a society where ladies themselves talk like that? Go look in the media, the movies or the television. It shows you how much we have fallen. Used to be the lowest levels of society. Yeah. Common laborer. But that was his everyday language. But heaven forbid, not in the presence of a lady. And today you have high society. But ladies themselves speak like that." This is how far we've fallen. Now, not speaking about nivul peh. The Gemara says, Dover Meguna, a person shouldn't speak a word which is not refined. So the Gemara brings him Sochi. a word which is not refined. And then the Gemara says, La'ilam, he should be Yivchar Derek Kovet. He should choose his words carefully. So they're words of Kovet, words of honor. And here the Gemara brings, how do we know? Because even the Torah, where possible, avoided speaking, avoided writing a dovra maguna, a word which was not a nice word. Now these words are they are totally acceptable words. They're respectable words, but they're not nice words. For example, Mora brings, the Torah wanted to write, there are certain behemoths, certain animals which are tahora, which are pure, and certain animals which are temeya, which are impure. So where it could, it didn't say behemoth temeya, an animal which was impure. It said an animal asher enena tahora, an animal which was not pure. See? Now we're talking about very respectable words. But still we see even the Torah, so it says, how much more so should we should try to choose our words carefully. The Gemara there brings that the Rabbi Yechanan Hillel, well, some say Hillel, some say Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai, had two disciples, and they each asked the Rebbe a question, and one they wanted to know, how do you cut olives where they should still remain tohor? So one used the word where they will not become tome, and the other word, one used the word betahara. And the Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai said, this one, the one that chose his word carefully, he changed the word in order to use a Loshen Kovet, a more honorable word, he'll one day become a great Balhei Roh, he'll become a great Rov in Israel. And Kachoya, that's how it was. The Gemara brings many such illustrations. The Maral explains why. And this is a limud for us, how we have to be careful. And we're not talking about curses or profanities, but even in words which are totally acceptable words and respectable words, we have to be careful where we can to choose the most respectable. He says, why? Because speech is part of the person. You can tell a person how close he is to that which is meguna, to that which is not respectable, to that which is disgusting by his speech. If you see a person speaks words, and they're the type of words that are low or vile, this shows how close he is to that. And to the contrary, if you see a person that goes to difficulty to choose his words, that they should not be these types of words, you see how far removed he is from that level. And that is a different level. That's a different madrega. So that's tznius beloshon. In other words, even if it's a good word, it should not be a coarse word. Those who try to use softer words or more dignified words, this is a hayra, this is a declaration as to where the person is holding. See, where is his stature? We find another area of tznius when it comes to revealing secrets. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah, we're holding not too far from Purim, and this has to do with the story of Esther. Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis. It says, Rochel was a great snua. She was a very, very private, modest person. And because of her came from her Shaul. Shaul was from Binyamin. Binyamin was one of the sons of Rochel. And we find that Shaul also was a very, very modest person. And because of that came from Shaul Esther. Esther and Mordechai were from the tribe Yemini, from Binyamin. They were descendants of Shaul, of King Saul, who also were very, very modest. But it says, where do we see all of this? So actually the Gemara says by Rochel, it's a little difficult what the Gemara means. It says, where do we see that tzniush by Rochel? Where do we see this privacy by Rochel, this modesty? Because when her father, Lavan, said that he will give Rochel to Yaakov after he worked 7 years, and then he made the switch and gave Leah instead. So Rochel and Yaakov had suspected such a thing because Lavan had a reputation. So they made, between themselves, they made a sign that when one would go to the chuppah, they would have a sign between them, and Yaakov would know to make sure it's Rochel. And then when he was making the switch and he was giving over Leah instead of Rochel, Rochel here revealed the secret. She revealed the secret and she gave it over to Leah. And the Gemara calls this a great sneus. This was a great modesty. Now why? So there Rashi explains, the others explain, she went to enormous extent to conceal the shame of her sister. Her sister would have been publicly shamed, because if she did not give her the signs, then Yaakov would have realized who it is, and then he would have walked out of the wedding. So he would have walked out of the chuppah, and the chuppah was the marriage room. See, and he would have walked out, and this would have publicly embarrassed her. So she was concerned to conceal the shame of someone else, even at her very own expense. This was the tznius. What was the tznius of the descendant Shaul? Shaul's father went and sent him to look for donkeys that were lost. When he went to look for the donkeys, they sent him, he came to the area of Shmuel Anovi, Samuel, and they said, well, why don't you go ask him? Maybe he'll know where the donkeys are. Yeah. And when he asked him, he went to him. There Shmuel told him that you are going to become the king of Israel. And he gave him that prophecy. When he came back and the father asked him, what's with the donkeys? So he told him all about the donkeys. That's Dvar Malchus Lehigid. But he won't tell his father what Shmuel told him, that he'll become the king of Israel. So he tells him about the donkeys and not that he's going to become the king, because he was very modest. He was very humble. He kept that to himself. And because of that, they had a descendant, Esther. Where was Esther such a snua? It states, Bein Esther Magedes es Amo Ves Mishpachto. When Ahasuerus took Esther, Mordechai commanded Esther, do not tell him where you come from. He didn't know anything about her. Why? Because Esther had come from royalty, from Shaul. And Mordechai was afraid that if Ahasuerus will know that, then for sure he'll keep her. And he was hoping, especially, she won't tell me who she's from. Maybe she's from the street, from the gutter, who knows where, and he'll send her away. Meanwhile, Ahasuerus did everything in power. He made big feasts and parties, and he gave her gifts, everything in her power, to get Esther to tell her where he comes from. Then Esther Magedis, Esther would not say. Because Mordechai, he can't see all of Mordechai. Mordechai commanded her. And this was at a great expense to her, because she was therefore threatening her position, where she could have got chucked out And meanwhile, she had become the queen of the entire world. Achashverosh was the king of the Kufchov Zayin Medina, 127 states, which was the entire world. And still, she won't tell. Where did she get that from? She got that from Shaul, who got it from Rochel. Then it tells us the Gemara Balbasra. The Gemara Balbasra in the Yishneichlin, Kufchov Zayin Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, Ruya Haisha Bechera Lotzeis Merochel. Really, the firstborn should have come from Rochel. Reuben was the firstborn, and he was born from Leah. Elakodma Leah Berachami. Leah pleaded with Hashem so much and cried to Hashem because her lot was that she would fall to Esav. So, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion on Leah, he allowed Leah to get married to Yaakov and to have the first child. Therefore, the firstborn was to Reuben. Was the firstborn of Reuben was to Leah. But then it states, when he takes new shoyso babarachel exira kodesh borchu. But because of the great snius, the great privacy and modesty of Rochel, the firstborn came back to her. And who was that? That was Yosef. Yosef later on would become the firstborn. Yaakov always considered Yosef his firstborn. We find that Yosef himself was a great tzonua. Yosef was given the brocha alei ayin. He was given a very special brocha. If you look through the parshas of Yosef, you'll see that whatever he touched turned to gold. He was a bal brocha. He always had brocha. And everybody liked him. It states that Potiphar liked him and he made him the head of the house. And in the dungeon they liked him and they made him the head of the dungeon. And Parah liked him and the people liked him. Where did he get that power for? He had a brocha alei ayin. Alei ayin means that he will always look good to the eye of people who gaze at him. Mora wants to know, where did he get that brocha? It's a wonderful brocha. It says he became free of the ayin hora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed him from the ayin hora. Everyone will have only a good eye towards him. And because of that, he was always brocha. It says the house of Potiphar became blessed of him. And the dungeon, and then the house of Parai, and they came to enormous wealth. So what did he do to be zeichet? It states because when Esav came, and he came together with his mother and everyone else to meet Esav, and everyone lined up behind their mothers, all of the Shvatim, all of the sons, Yosef said, I'm not going to let that Rosha gaze at my mother. And he covered her up. He stood in front of her. And he refused to move. He was tall. And every time Esav tried to look at his mother, he moved in front. Always between them. And he risked his life because it wouldn't have taken much Esav to take a sword to someone who was giving him a problem. And he was a young boy then. So this was the power where he wanted to protect his mother from the eye of Esav. This was the power of privacy. His mother was a queen, and this man was not going to gaze at her. And because of that, he was zeichet to the brocha of alei ayin, where no one will be able to harm him with their eyes. And when Yaakov came, and he gave Yosef's children, a brocha, Ephraim and Manasseh, he said they will come to great multitudes, which incidentally Ephraim and Manasseh had the greatest multitudes of the Shvatim. The Yidgul Araiv, they will multiply like fish. There's nothing that multiplies so much like fish. And the sages say, why do fish multiply so much? Because they're mechusa mina ayin, because nobody can see them, they're concealed. And the brocha takes place on things that are concealed. And he gave this brocha to Yosef and to his children. And this is why they multiplied. But in general, Yosef, which was very unique because a king in his inner chambers he's concealed, but there are times he has to go out in front of the nation. Yehuda Yala Beresh, there's times he has to be in front. Yosef was a king, but he was always very concealed. And it states that Yosef was Kaim Uraisa B'Sisro all of his days that he was in the palace of Parai. Secretly he fulfilled the entire Torah. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, the Rambam brings it. The Rambam brings it in Perechov Beis Halacha Zayin, Vilchus Sanhedrin. Can you give me? It's the Rambam with the Zayin. It's the last one. No, way over to the right there. No, on the second shelf. That one. That one. That's it. That should be it. Thank you. Yeah. The Rambam brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Osel Adain, 1 minute. It's Halacha Zayin, Posukhof. Perechov Beis Halacha Zayin. Also, Echad Min Adayonim Kishiyetsim Bebezdin Leimar Anihu Mazakum Machay V'Chaveri Cholkin Alai. Chaveri Cholkin Alai. Avol Ma Ese Shehim Rob Alai. If two people come with a litigation, and let's say there are three Dayonim, three judges, and they hear the case, and they say, "All right, now they're going to." Now they're going to consider the case, and they go into their chambers and they discuss the case and they thrash it through, and everyone says their opinions, and one Dayan said that Reuben is the one who is right and not the other one, and the other two agree with Shimon. So then the halacha is, it's Shimon's money. So they come back out, they call the litigants in, and they tell them, "Shimon, we have come to the conclusion that you're the one that's telling the truth, you're the one, it's in your favor, the money's yours." Naturally, Reuben is very upset. Reuben has Bregis. He's upset. So now afterwards, the Dayan that favored Reuben calls him over and he says, "Look, I held you were right. I really think they took you for a ride. But what could I do? The others voted against me, so there was nothing I can do." That's osur. That's forbidden. One is not allowed to do such a thing. But they have to come out and say, "This is the verdict of the Bezdin, that it belongs, the money belongs to Shimon, not to Reuben." Finished. Then the Rambam carries on. Bim Omar Kein Areu Bechlal Helech Rochel Megaleseit. And if he does do this, then he's what Shlema Melech said, Helech Rochel Megaleseit. He is a Baal Loshon Hara, a gossiper that will reveal a secret. Mora brings a case where one Talmud in the Beis HaMedrash, he revealed such a secret after 22 years. The Heitziu Mibezdin Beis HaMedrash Vehichrizu Olav Zeh Megaleseitu. And they threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash. They would never allow him back into that Beis HaMedrash. And they said, "He's a Megales Sod. He's a person that cannot keep his mouth closed. He reveals things that he's not allowed to reveal." So this is tznius, the tznius when it comes to keeping one's tongue, holding one's tongue. Now this one final point.
The Gemara brings, this is a Gemara in Masech Tesukah, Daf Mem Tesamud Beis, Dorash Rava. It says, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from you? Ases Mishpat, he wants you to do justice. Chesed, he wants kindliness. Then it says, V'atznei aleches im alakecho, and to walk with him with great privacy, with great modesty, with concealment. The Gemara says, what is that referring to in particular? So the Gemara says, that's referring to Hachnosis Kala and Levayas Hames. It's referring to taking the Kala to the Chuppah, and Levayas Hames, taking a dead person to his burial. And then the Gemara says, Umadvorim Shedarkim Lasrish Befar Heshia. If things which you do publicly, it's the custom to do it publicly, and still the Torah said that you shall be careful and you shall conduct yourself with snius, with privacy, so how much more so things that should be done privately? This is the Gemara. What does this mean? The Maral explains. The custom is that when a chosen and kala go to chuppah, publicly. The custom is that when you take someone to a burial, it's done publicly. People come to be mesameach to chosen and kala, and people come to give honor to the one who died. But still, Hashem said, "V'hatznea lechasim Hashem alakecho." Still, you must keep the element of privacy still in force. Where's the element of privacy? So the Maral says, that's why you walk with the kala to the chuppah. That's why you escort the dead person. If a kala walks alone, that's too open. You take a king or a queen. A king never walks alone. A queen never walks alone. They walk with an escort. They have people in front of them, people behind them, people on the side of them. That escort is not like an honor guard. That's a tznius. So he shouldn't be alone. Open. That even in public, he shouldn't be so open. He should be surrounded by his people. He says, this is the mitzvah, that when the kala goes to the chuppah, and even though we do it publicly, but she shouldn't be so open. She should be surrounded by people, by the people taking her to the chuppah. And the same thing, lahavdu, a person dies, you take him to burial, he should be surrounded by people. This is what is meant by Hatsneya Leches im Hashem Elokecho, that you shall walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu always with a modesty, always with a privacy. So now the Gemara says, if by things which is the way of the land to do publicly, still we should have an element, some element of privacy in it, so how much more so other things which we do not do publicly. This gives us some insights into this quality, which is known as tznius or seisar, that a person must always conduct himself. All right, there are degrees. Many times we have to come out and open. Many times a leader is required, like we learned by the Nassim, for a leader to be first so others will follow, so they should see. But nevertheless, we find that when it comes to Dvorim, put things of level, the higher the level, the higher the Kedusha. And like a person who's a high level, the person himself, a human being, is a Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem, he must always, though, have in his conduct this element of tznius, of modesty, and of privacy.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.